Wow, what do we do when God is silent? How many of you pray? Don't you just love it when you or when we pray and God answers your prayer? Isn't that a really great thing? Al and I, we were working on Marlene's car a few weeks ago. And I tell you, I love working on cars. It's so much fun. So I was thinking, okay, he's going to come at about 11. We was going to spend the rest of the afternoon changing the axles and the shocks. So here I am. We get the car up on jack. We start to take off the nuts and bolts and the tires. And I say, hey, Al, let's pray. Yeah, good idea. So we pray, Lord, help us to loosen every nut and bolt without it breaking or stripping or busting your knuckles. And we pray. And we start taking apart the car. Usually when I take apart cars, I really have to label things because I always end up with extra parts. And it's true and it's sad. So we pray. And by 12:30, we're done. Every bolt that needed to come out, even though it was kind of rusty, came out without getting stripped. Everything that needed to come out came out easily. And in an hour and a half, we were done. So I was thinking like, shoot, what am I going to do with my afternoon now? I was looking forward to hanging out with Al, talking story. We prayed. It got done in like an hour and a half. Two front shocks, one side axle. Pow. And I was like, wow. All I can do is look up and say, thank you, Jesus. I love when he answers prayer. And a lot of times when prayer gets answered, I cannot say or I cannot take the credit for it. Because who knows, you might have been praying for the exact same thing and maybe God heard your prayer and not mine. Either way, when a prayer gets answered, I do not like to say, oh, yeah, because I wouldn't pray. I rather say, you know what? All glory goes to God. Isn't that, that's how I see it. Because maybe I prayed, maybe you prayed, maybe somebody else prayed. But all glory goes to God. Amen? Amen. You know my beautiful, lovely wife? Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Yeah. You know, some evenings, right, she gets in this mood. And she starts cleaning the house. Later, I go sleep. And she's cleaning the house. And she tells me, you know, somebody must be praying for me. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, she just goes and goes and goes. And I wake up in the morning like, oh, man, you went to town. She cleaned every nook and cranny. And I was like, wow. And she says, somebody must have been praying for me. And it's like, wow. That's amazing. When you know, when we get down on our knees and we pray and God answers our prayers, wow, doesn't it make you want to pray more and be more diligent and, you know, do it morning, afternoon, whatever, but just be more consistent in your prayers? And that's like how it is. When we pray, God answered our prayers, boom. Shoot, we start praying in the supermarket aisle when we see somebody. Come. No, come. Let me pray for you right here now. Bow your head. They look at me. Here. You serious? Right here. Yes, let's pray right now. Because I might forget. But when God answers our prayers, we're bold. We do all those things. We're convinced. Our faith is strong. We believe that God will answer. Our level of faith swells. Oh, yes. But, I hate that word, but. It's spelled with one T, okay? Not two T's. B-U-T. Okay? But there are times when we ask, we seek, we knock. But God is silent. Wow, nothing. The things that we prayed for, the things that we wanted, somehow it just doesn't materialize. And our enthusiasm is crushed. And we wonder, wow, What happened? We ask ourselves and we ask God, man, is it worth it? Did I do something wrong? Does God even hear me? Does He even care? I believe that most of us pray, and sometimes we don't hear an answer. Or we get an answer that we don't like, a not a favorable answer. Remember when those guys, whatever names, asked Balaam to curse the Israelites and he blessed them instead? Wow, he never got what he wanted. He got what God wanted. The reality of answered prayer sometimes fades. And then sometimes doubt creeps in. Sometimes resentment can creep in if we allow it. Maybe you can recall a moment when you have stopped asking. You might think, oh, God knows my thoughts. Why should I pray? Some people respond that way when they don't receive what they ask for. Sometimes we think, well, I asked once and God knows, so I don't need to ask again. And I don't want to bother Him. In Philippians 4:6, can we read this together? Ready? Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, the Bible tells us, although God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, omnipotent, make our requests known to God. Amen? Amen. So even if we ask, we keep asking. Amen? Amen. God's no is not just limited to those who are living a sinful life. Sometimes, no matter how spiritual you may be, there are going to be times that God says no to your prayers. Doesn't matter how much you sacrifice or endured for the cause of Christ. Because sometimes God will say no. If I was to ask for 1 million people here on Sunday, God would tell me no. Why? Because where would we put 1 million people? And you're going to have 999,000 leave disappointed because there was no parking and there was no seats. So here's the key. Number one, be persistent in prayer. Be persistent. Keep asking. Ask. You ever had your children nag you until the point where it's like, okay, I give in. Be persistent. In Luke 18:1-8, now He was telling them a parable. So a parable is like a story to help us understand what's going on. To show that at all times, they ought to pray and not lose heart. Oh, because sometimes we pray, and we don't get what we want, and we lose heart. Saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to Him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while He was unwilling, but afterwards He said to Himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet this widow bothers me, and I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? The elect, that's us, yeah? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Persistent in prayer. and not to give up does not mean we just like endless repetition or prayerfully long prayer sessions. Consistent prayer means keeping our request continually before God as we live for Him each day, day by day, believing that someday God will answer. When we live by faith, we are not to give up. God may certainly delay in answering, but His delays always have a good reason. And as we persist in prayer, we grow in character, faith, and hope. Amen? Do you remember Paul, the guy in the Bible, the guy who was Saul? Well, look at what happened to him in 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And He said to me, oh, this is tough, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. 3 times Paul prayed for healing. Did not receive it. Could you imagine that? Paul, the super apostle, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he prayed for this thing to leave him. We don't know what it was. But God said, my grace, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. That's what He said. I could just like, wow, that's so tough. He prayed. He received far greater things because he receives God's grace. Amen? A stronger character, humility, and an ability to empathize with others. In addition, it benefited those around him as he saw God at work in his life. God, according to His sovereign plan, doesn't heal some believers of their physical ailments. We don't know why. Some are spared, others are not. We have people in this church who have been cured of cancer. We had people in this church who went home to the Lord because of cancer. God chooses according to His divine purposes. Our task, our responsibility is to pray, to believe, and to trust. Amen? Amen. We are not in control of outcome. How many think you was in control of the outcome of prayer? We're just in control of praying. Paul, living proof that holy living and courageous faith do not ensure physical healing. When we pray for healing, we must trust our bodies to God's care. We must recognize that nothing separates us from His love. That our spiritual condition is always more important than our physical condition. I can be beat up physically, which I pretty much am, but spiritually I can be okay. And it's better to be that way. Paul planted many churches, wrote most of the New Testament, trained young pastors and missionaries, but even for him, there were times that God was silent. If it happened to Paul, it can happen to us. How are we going to respond when it happens to us? How are you going to make it through this season? I want to give us some God-honoring responses that we can make a part of our life. When we face these times when we pray and we pray and we pray and we listen so hard. We listen. It's like, man, turn the hearing aid up. I still can't hear. So I ask God, speak to me and make it crystal clear so I can understand and obey. But sometimes, wow, silence. When that happens, listen for God's voice. He says in 2 Corinthians, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is really enough. His grace is really all that we need. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's what we need, his grace. I think grace, God's grace, is far better than his healing. So Paul, he said, when he heard that, he would not forget that God gave him a reminder of his weakness so that he would have to depend on God. Wow. No one can say for sure what his ailment was. Most people think it was a physical affliction. And it is understandable that Paul considered this a thorn in his side, a hindrance to widen more effective ministry. And that he would continually ask and petition God for its removal. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Okay, so next, trust in God's power. God is all powerful. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the second half. Most gladly, therefore, and like we say, therefore is therefore a reason. I will rather boast about my weakness. Oh, I love to boast in my weakness. My weakness is public speech. Oh my. If you could feel my back and my armpits right now, oh, I am just sweating bullets up here. It is really uncomfortable. But in my weakness, who gets glorified? I'm not a seminary educated person, but God speaks to me. Who is glorified? God is. I love to boast in my weaknesses because God is glorified. Paul was asking this so that probably he could be more effective in his ministry. If God would just heal me of this problem. Sometimes I ask God, take away my debt, give me a couple million so that I can help the church more. How many of you pray that prayer? You know, God said, you know what, Shiroma-san, if I gave you $1 million, you know what the first thing would be? I got this. I got it. instead of saying, wow, God got it. And, you know, trust in God's power when you have none. Amen? There are physical conditions that people face that cause them to ask, how am I going to ever make it through this? How am I ever going to be of use to God, to my family, to anyone else in the condition that I'm in now? And God answers, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. When you have a nagging problem that just won't go away, a pain that will not subside, a child that will not obey, a co-worker who will not respect, a loss that you just can't seem to recover from, and you wonder, God, is your power strong enough to enable me to handle this? And he responds with, my strength is greatest when you are weak. And I can get you through anything. Amen? When God chooses not to use his power to alleviate pain, trust in God's power to see you through the pain. Man, because I know some of you, migraine headaches, but yet you still show up on Sunday morning. I know some of you, financial struggles, but yet you still manage to give to God. God can see you through the pain. Amen? Number four, serve God right where you are. 2 Corinthians 12:10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Paul served God right where he was at, in his weakness. In insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You want God to change your situation. But did you ever think that God has put you in that situation to use you right in the middle of it? Don't ask God to change things until you look for and found how you can minister or be changed by the circumstances that you face. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. You go through a divorce, it's for a purpose, because one day you're going to help somebody through a divorce. You go through addictions, one day God will use you to help someone through an addiction. And in that pain, God will use you right where you are, and one day you will be able to help somebody else. Amen? Luke 22:42-43. Saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Jesus was on his knees in the garden, and he asked the Father to take this cup, the cup of suffering, away from me. Did God take that cup away? No. Jesus suffered. He got whipped. He got nailed to the cross. His request, take this cup from me. Take this cup of suffering. His request was denied. You ever get that stamp? Denied. And then in John 17:21, Jesus again, I pray that they will all be one. God, Jesus is talking about the church. Just as you are, you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. Jesus prayed for a united church. Are we united? Maybe in this fellowship. But look at all the different denominations we have today. Because one person believes in baptism by submersion, the other doesn't. So they say, well, I'm going to go and start my own denomination then. I don't agree with you. Once saved, always saved. No, I don't believe that. I believe something else can happen. Okay, well, I'm going to start my own denomination. Next thing you know, we have all these denominations. We're not united. But then God still uses all these denominations to reach different people. Jesus prayed for a united church. That's two examples of even Jesus' prayer. Not answered. He didn't answer Paul's prayer. He didn't answer a couple of Jesus' prayer. So that tells us that sometimes we might get a no. And no is? Man, that's so hard to take. See, God will not grant our every request. He will not take away every pain. But he will always be there to gently wrap us in his loving arms, to wipe away our tears, to give us strength and motivation to live another day. How many days you just don't want to get up? And you say, oh, I wish Jesus would come back right now, so I don't have to get up in front of 200 people and speak. Please, come, Lord Jesus, come. You sick, you're suffering, you want him to come back, but no, he gives you another day to live. He strengthens you. When God is silent, this is a real life situation. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, then don't just be discouraged if it happens to you. Look at the prayers of those who continue to pray, didn't get the answer, but yet they continue to love and to serve God, no matter what happened. That's hard. So here's the key. Stop worrying about receiving the healing, but learn to rely. Learn to rely on his grace. His grace is enough. His grace is more than sufficient for each and every one of us. Amen? So when heaven is silent, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and rely on him. Don't worry about receiving. Just rely on him. Amen? Amen. Can I have the worship team come up? For some people here, if you had never asked God to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this chance now. If you can hear him knocking on the door of your heart, he says, open it up. Let me in. And I will dine with you and you with me. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time, or you're rededicating your life, please hold up a hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else back there? Okay, you can put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And I know you have heard the prayers. Lord, I pray for each one of us. We would stop focusing on receiving and start to learn how to rely. Because your word says your grace is enough. Your grace is sufficient. Help us to trust that right now with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen and amen.